Moncrief on News Talk.
Child psychotherapist Joanna Fortune joins me now with all your parenting dilemmas. Joanna, how are you?
I'm good, Fionnuala. How are you?
We always get juicy ones when I'm in, which I appreciate.
I think so. I think you bring those in.
Yeah. I don't know what that says about me, childless. But anyway, we'll get into this one first because I think it's really interesting. Yeah. My 10-year-old won't pay attention when I ask her not to do certain stuff. For example, I'll say, don't put your shoes there, or can you please move your school bag? Normal day-to-day stuff. She simply won't do it. I'll ask the above 3 or 4 times, patiently and gently, but she just isn't registering. Lately, she has taken to putting on my Jo Malone perfume. I've told her she's not allowed to use it time and time again, and she continues to use it. We've had a full conversation about it the other day, and then that night, she headed out to soccer training, wafting of the perfume. She has run through 3 little bottles. It's driving me mad. Why is she not listening to me? She's not being bold or cheeky when she doesn't behave as I ask. She's just oblivious to the direction. It's simply not going into her head. I know she isn't doing it to act out. She simply isn't taking it in. But it is all the time, and I feel it will seep into simple tasks of everyday life. Her father is the very same, so that is where she gets it. In the last year, we were bereaved. We lost her aunt, and her dad has been battling an illness for the last number of years. So I try and be lenient and let lots of other stuff go. But is there any better way of getting certain actions through to her? Like, how can I get it to land that there is stuff she's not allowed to do? Because it is important going forward that she can take some direction.
It is, and I think a lot of people gasped when you mentioned the 3 little bottles of Jo Malone.
That's not cheap perfume.
No, it is not. And there's something about the, you know, she's going wafting of it, so she's also not taking a single squirt. You know, she's bathing in it. There's a couple of things in this, Fionnuala, and I'm going to kind of answer the questions or the points that are here around the question that's been written in, because this person, and I love the way you read that out because it's how it sounds in my head as well. Like, this parent is saying, I'm asking patiently and gently, but the frustration from this is palpable. You know, you're clearly frustrated. So while you might be saying it with those nice, gentle words, I wonder, is it with a clenched jaw? Mm. And it's okay to be frustrated about this, but to be authentic with her and say, I'm really mad. Like, this is not okay. Because otherwise it's confusing for kids. You know, you're gentle about it. How big a deal is it then? And that's the other thing that comes up. You know, you've said it 3-4 times to her and it's not going in. So I'm like, well, then what? What happens if I'm this 10-year-old and I hear you constantly saying don't do it, but when I do it, there isn't any consequence. You're a bit upset, you're a bit frustrated, but there's no fallout for me. Why wouldn't I do it? I think this is actually quite confusing. I don't think this parent is intending to be confusing, but I think it's coming across that way. Because the other thing that jumped out is, if you say she's not doing this to act out, it just doesn't go into her head. Immediately, I'm like, if you think she's not able to take in a direction and hold it in her head and then follow through with an action by 10 years old, why not?
Yeah.
I'd have a question about that.
Yeah.
And have you ever considered why that might be a struggle for her? And like her dad, what does that mean? So this one brought up more questions for me in that regard. I do think we're talking about boundaries. We are talking about cause and effect thinking here. If you do A, B is the outcome. But if you do C, D is the outcome. And you want her to make a self-correcting choice because she's 10. She's coming into those preteen years, which are happening earlier and earlier, really. So body and image focus comes into sharp focus for girls, particularly this age. Not just girls, though. I wonder, instead of the old Jo Malone, if there was a middle ground of buying her a much more affordable scented body lotion.
An impulse. Come on, get her an impulse.
I mean, I was going to say that, but I wasn't even sure, does that exist anymore?
Don't say that. Oh my God.
But a scented body lotion, because I'm thinking she's wearing it going out to football. Is she also conscious of changes to her body and body smells? She's 10 years old. That's entirely possible. Making sure she has deodorant, scented body lotion, things where she can say, I like how I smell. I like how that feels. That isn't dipping into your supplies. In the meantime, I would make your supplies harder for her to access until you get this boundary sorted, you know, that it's not so accessible. But I would talk to her about that. I understand you're growing up. I understand things are changing. You're interested in this. But that perfume is a grown-up perfume. And more than that, it belongs to me. Mm. And I don't come into your room and take your stuff. And it is not okay for you to come in and take my stuff. And that's really about the boundary piece, because I think this parent is quite right. You've got to help her understand that she can't just take something because she wants it, because that opens up a whole other set of problems as well. But I think more than this, as a parent, you have to be calm, clear and consistent with children. They have to be able to predict or anticipate with a degree of certainty, if I do this, I know what the fallout's going to be. Mm. Now I make that informed choice. Because when this parent says, and there has been a lot going on for this family, and I want to talk about that too, but that you let a lot of other stuff go, you are lenient with her. There's a lot of inconsistency. And so I think if I'm this kid, why is this such a big deal if nothing else is? Mm. Why are you picking up on this if everything else is let go? Why am I allowed to do things you do say I shouldn't do, but when I do, it's okay, but with this, it's not okay? I think there's too many bendy boundaries here and it's not working.
Yeah.
But it's the good news is, in lots of ways, the change is from a parenting perspective. And that will affect it. Now, she's not going to high five you for them. No 10-year-old has ever said, thanks so much for those limits and boundaries. But at the same time, she is going to be able to work within them so long as you hold them gently yet firmly in place.
Yeah.
And you are consistent with follow through with it. There is a lot going on in this family, okay? In a year, to lose an aunt, to have a dad who's unwell, and the words, you know, battling an illness really stick out for me. So how is your 10-year-old doing with this? What is their understanding? How have they processed it? Because you could be getting this kind of mild to moderate acting out as a way of saying, you know what? I don't feel contained. I don't feel my world is being held together. And this is how I'm showing you. Behavior is a communication. So, you know, don't rule out maybe she's had access to it, but if not, some therapy sessions could be very helpful for her, particularly around the boundary piece. But boundaries are always initiated and led by parents. Mm. So I really do think this is an answer, a response that's going to start with the parent first.
Yeah. Get those boundaries in place and go from there. This one is interesting. I am the youngest in my family and as a result had my little boy considerably later than my siblings. Our boy is now 7 years old and I feel like he has little to no relationship with his cousins, of whom there are five. The trouble is this, they are all at least 8 years older than him. Whenever we have a family get together, my little boy tends to be sidelined. The other cousins don't take much interest in him at all. Is there any way I can get them to include him, or is the age gap too much? They'll all be together over the Easter and I'd love for them to get along. That's tricky.
Oh, it's super tricky, and it's a big ask of teenagers, you know, to hang out with a 7-year-old. But there are a couple of creative ways around that. But I think what this brings up, Neil, as well, is when someone starts with, I'm the youngest in my family, it was many years later when I had children than my siblings. I'm wondering how it felt to grow up in a family where you are by far the youngest. Mm. How was your relationship with older siblings? Did they have time for you? Did they include you in things? Or is this an empathic connection with your 7-year-old? I know what it's like to feel left out of family gatherings. And I think when there is a significant age gap, you can see that. So just be mindful of how much of this is activating your own feelings of being the by far youngest sibling in the situation. Now, if these cousins are at least 8 years older, the next cousin to him is 15 years old.
Yeah.
You know, a 15-year-old is not looking to hang out with a 7-year-old, no matter how you dress this up. So, and the rest of them are older again. So they're naturally going to have more in common with each other. So I don't think this is about they're not bothered with him.
Yeah, it's not necessarily malicious.
Oh, I wouldn't think so at all. I would think, you know, in the nicest possible way, he's hardly on their radar.
Yeah.
And that's developmental for the stage they're at as well. But when you're going, and I don't know, you know, just is it a reasonable expectation that teenage cousins want to hang out with a much younger cousin? You're probably at a phase where, if anything, you'll be asking them to babysit him. And they'll have that kind of a relationship with him rather than a playmate kind of relationship or that kind of cousin connection. But I wonder as well, what do they know of him? Like the kinds of things he's into or interested in? Because if you're gathering, as this letter says, you know, at Easter and you want everyone to get along, why don't you structure that around a big family game like football or charades or tag or whatever suits, something that's all inclusive, but it's adults as well. So it's not just go play with your little cousin, go hang out with your little cousin, because teenagers are not going to do that. But if everyone's involved and you've got teams and there's collaboration and a bit of challenge and everyone's working together, it's shared joy and shared fun. I would be taking that approach rather than an unrealistic expectation that older teenagers are going to hang out with a younger child.
Yeah. Godspeed to that family over Christmas. Or Christmas, Easter. Oh my God, I'm ahead of myself. Next one here then. I started a new job a few months ago, which requires me to travel abroad almost every week. While I get back from Friday to Monday, I'm finding it increasingly difficult to maintain my relationships with my 5-year-old daughter and 8-year-old son because of my absence during the week. I feel like I am missing out on so much. We have a video call every evening, which is a lifesaver, but it isn't easy because sometimes they are not engaged in the call. They're distracted by the TV or whatever else is going on. It is hard to keep connected with them or to get them to speak frankly with me over the phone. I am worried that they are losing a fatherly influence in the home, and I'm at a loss as to how to address the situation.
Oh, it's tough, isn't it? You know, that's tough on everybody because, you know, being away Monday to Friday or Friday. Oh, you're back Friday to Monday. So yeah, back for the weekends, away Monday to Friday. But being away, that's where they're at school, they're at activities. It's
everything's happening.
It's all of their active, active life. Also at their age, I know as adults we're like, but we have phone calls. Kids that age don't really do phone calls. Mm. You know, they're not going to say, well, now, thanks for ringing. Wait till I tell you all the news of my day. You're doing well to get a couple of nuggets of news over a dinner table where you're looking at them, never mind on the phone. But you can build those video phone calls around games rather than chat.
Okay.
You know, you could play a bit of I Spy. You could play different kinds of turn-taking games online, you know, over the phone with them. And you could sing songs. You could also maybe bring a book they're reading away with you. Get two copies. They've one at home. You've one away. And read a story together. That will keep them on the phone for a few minutes. And it's at their level. And you're doing something that's about connection. So I'm not saying don't do the calls, but restructure them around play-based activities that will engage children this age on the phone rather than a chat. I also think, and this just takes a little bit more of a piece of paper and a glue stick and a bit of time before you go away, but you can leave a week-long calendar, just Monday through Friday, and do little, I'm doing this with my finger now as if people can see me, but little 3D pockets.
So they have the visual of when you'll be back and what you can
and
do.
And you could put a little note in, not, you're not giving them a thing every day, but a little note that is connected to their day. Good luck with swimming today. I hope the football match goes well. Hope the spelling test goes well. You could also, you know, test spellings on the phone calls and be involved in homework. There's all kinds of things you can do that lets them know you are connected to them. You know what's going on. And then they've something tangible to tell you about, linked to the note you've left. And on Friday, you leave a little note that is a time token, something fun to do when you're home at the weekend together. Yeah. And again, that isn't and shouldn't be something that's about money and an activity like that. But it could be baking. It could be movie night. It could be going to the park with a ball, something really simple. But they get that time token with you and they should get one each. So there's a bit of one on one time as well as family time around that. And I think that's a way of structuring this. And it gives you that little bit, those little details that you can again drop into the chat when you're talking to them. So just get a bit creative with it. But also, this is still new. Like it's only, I know it's a few months, but it's only a few months of this routine. So it takes everybody time just to adjust to any changes like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I'm getting excited about the time tokens. I'm trying to think about how I can incorporate it into my life to be like spending
time
with people.
We're never too old for time tokens.
We're never too old for time tokens. I love it. This one's really interesting because I think obviously in this instance, we're talking about children, but I think it's a conversation that's happening among adults as well. My 9-year-old keeps asking about how healthy a food is. For example, is this cucumber healthy? I'm like, all food is healthy, everything in moderation. She's 9, so I'm worried she's demonizing food already. She eats everything, no problem. She's not hiding food or pretending to eat, but the interest in healthy foods is concerning. I grew up in the 90s and the skinny culture was huge, and I'm so mindful of not demonizing anything or using those words. This is a pretty recent thing. It actually started around the time the new school meals came to school. It's not an obsession, but she is all about what's healthy, unhealthy. Also, her twin sister isn't asking the same. Any advice, please?
I mean, it's a great example of how different things resonate differently with children, even when they're siblings hearing the same thing. I'd be interested in what messaging she has gotten around the school meals, how they've been presented. And that's not a criticism. The school has probably presented these are great for you. These are healthy meals. It's important to eat healthy food. And there may well have been a kind of healthy eating lesson plan around that. There may have been, and it's worth checking that out. But I'd also say, and you named it there, you know, so this is something adults are talking about quite a lot, loudly. It's in media, it's on social media. Be mindful of what she may have heard. And she may have just picked up little comments between adults, be they at home, teachers overhearing something you're listening to online, by someone posting something that you happen to be listening to a little bit loudly. Kids are really skilled at picking up on these little nuggets of information and going, huh, is that something I should be thinking about? And when it doesn't make sense to them, they can ruminate on it and think on it over and over. And there is quite a lot of discourse about the school meals going on at the moment. I think the messaging you're giving her is really good at the moment, and keep doing it, emphasizing that, you know what, you don't need to worry about that because you have a healthy diet and you have a happy, healthy body that enables you to jump and skip and climb and get about your day. You're good to go. And so you're not minimizing or dismissing, but you are naming you are healthy, your body is healthy, and linking it to what our bodies do rather than how they look, without doing a big kind of this is the teach moment on this, just normalizing, you know, what your body is able to run and it's able to focus in school, it's able to do your activities, your body is happy and healthy, you're good. And keep that messaging. Be very, very mindful of what she might be picking up on adult conversation. That would just tweak that for me, because there is so much conversation about this.
Okay. I want to get to this last one very quickly because I think it's interesting. My 15-year-old daughter suddenly started drinking coffee last September, and at first we weren't bothered by it because it was just a now and then thing. However, it has progressed to the point now that she is definitely having at least one cup a day. I'm concerned about someone who is still developing taking in this much caffeine, but the problem goes beyond this. Her coffee keep cup has become an accessory. All her friends carry a large Stanley water bottle and a coffee cup wherever they go. It pains me to see this because I can see they are desperately trying to expedite their adulthood, but I just want her to slow down and enjoy being a teenager. How do I get her to forget about the coffee and relax all this a bit? I don't even think she likes coffee. She adds so much oat milk to it that the flavour is likely completely diluted.
It's probably not even about the coffee. It's about, you know, having the coffee cup. And it's great they're using reused cups, by the way. I just want to give these teens credit for this.
Props to that.
You know, that they have their water bottles and their coffee cups. But I do also need to say, if you're like her age, one cup or 100 micrograms of caffeine is probably better to say, because if I was pouring that cup, it might be a bit bigger.
Yeah.
So 100 micrograms of caffeine is the max somebody her age should be having.
And they're saying she's having at least one a day.
That jumped out at me, because you're going to have to talk to her, but also be aware yourselves that too much caffeine, particularly at this young age, can disrupt her quality of sleep and even just capacity to be at rest. Even when she's not sleeping, that she can feel calm and rested. It will increase anxiety. It can increase that kind of heart rate for her as well. It can give her headaches. Talk to her about the health impacts of too much caffeine. Like if somebody was writing in saying my child is drinking a load of caffeine loaded energy drinks, we'd also be going, oh no, hang on, that's not okay. So there's something about this carrying the keep cup of coffee that everyone else is having. Introduce her to decaf very soon, very quickly. But also, what else could go in her coffee cup? Could she have a herbal tea in there? She's still carrying the cup. She still has a hot beverage in it. It's still that pseudo maturity, kind of acting a bit grown up, which is not unusual at 15. But I would be more concerned about getting her off caffeine.
Oh my God. All right. Godspeed to those parents as well. Joanna Fortune, thank you so much
for
that.
Thanks so much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.